Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk. Hey, oh wow, this is okay. Good evening to you, Blog Talk. Praying all is well. Now we have Anchor, so let's just get onto Facebook in the name of Jesus. Yes. Good evening. I am so out of sync with this thing. Like, I don't, you know. Assistant. Lord, I need an assistant soon in the name of Jesus. But welcome to Speak Life. I'll go tell my brethren ministry with your sister in Christ, Rachel, Carlene, Renee, a servant and daughter of the Most High God, Lord and King. Welcome to Speak Life in the name of Jesus. Praying all is well with you, beloved, on this fourth day of January 2023. I really don't quite know what date I've been saying, because, you know, I have to get used to this 2023, and then it'll be watch night. Yeah. But I'm lifting up my whole household. I'm lifting you and your whole household, beloved. I'm lifting up. I am lifting the kingdom family. Worldwide. The martyred saints, persecuted saints, those trodden down, those taken by men stealers, those feeling weak, weary, withered, and even worn. We're lifting them. We're lifting up their families. We're lifting up children worldwide in the name of Jesus. Yes. We're lifting up the elderly worldwide. We're lifting up the disabled, the unable, the babies, the infant, and the able, the believer, the unbeliever, the sinner, and the saint, because God allowed the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the thankful, the unthankful, and the good and the evil. Nobody's left out, see? To God be the glory in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I come to you, Lord God. Father, make it plain. Make it clear. Squeeze every ounce of me out of me. Let me decrease totally so you increase, Lord God. On both sides of this camera so we can hear, we can receive, and we can believe what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we can study to show ourselves for the proof in the name of Jesus, because your word is proven and tried. You've already went and deep. You already descended, Lord, so and ascended, so we can all ascend too, and we can all know the truth for ourselves in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you bind up all rebellion and disobedience and just distractions in the name of Jesus, and just tension and contention, subliminally or whatever the case may be, nice, nasty, whatever you want to call it. Lord, bring that spirit. We're not bringing that in to the new. You keep it to yourself in the name of Jesus. Right, Daddy? Yes. In the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. I pray you bind up everything in the flesh and spiritual realms that is not of you. Just not. But Lord, I guess if whoever you send, that whether they're the dove or the raven, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, they're going to get fed. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you. In the mighty and beautiful name, I declare your word. Lord, I submit and surrender. Lord, let us acknowledge you in all that we do, so you direct our steps and our paths, and we lean not to our own understanding. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Only allow me to speak with us, says the Lord, and what you would have, in Jesus' name. So good evening, beloved. Praying all is well with you. Praying all is well. You know, I love the Lord. I pray to, and I love people. I love people. I may not like a lot of things, but I love people. You know, one thing is I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm humbled to be even with this assignment. And this is not what I can't talk about, but one thing I love about the Lord, well, one of the things is God prepares us. He prepares us. It's not like we're walking in well, sometimes it feels like we're walking in blindly. But if you really look back on your relationship with God, you will see he was preparing us all this while. Even in our own poor choices, he's going to use that. God uses something out of it. It's preparing us. Rather, say we just got a rebellious spirit, right? Well, when we come to our, you know, we come to our own, we come, you know, we sober up, because really that's what it is. We're not sober-minded. But when we sober up and he starts to use you and you become his servant, he's going to set you with rebellious people because you're going to understand it. So if you was that child that was always obedient, he's going to set you with those kind of people. And you may get some disobedient children because you're going to be the light towards obedience. So I can't even, a lot of times, you know, in my flesh, because I'm, you know, I'm still human. And in my flesh, you know, I'll be, you know, but in my understanding, I understand seeds, and I understand sowing seeds. I understand that. And so if you want to go a good harvest, sow good seeds. If you want a bad harvest, sow bad seeds. But no matter what, it's going to grow. And when it grows, it's something you can't avoid. It's something you're not, even if you think, well, I could sow bad seeds, I ain't got to eat. It's something, because it's spiritual, and it's something you're not going to be able to avoid. And a lot of times we're going through things because of what we have sown. It could be that thing is preparing us. But a lot of the spiritual things we are eating, even the lack of blessings, the lack of prayers being answered, is because of what we sowed. Okay, so what I can talk about is knowing your battery is getting to a critical level. Okay, no, we can't do this yet. We're just going to have to be a little bit dark here because we can't do all that right there. Woo! Felt like a piece of chicken on the rotisserie light right there. So knowing when your battery is getting to a critical level, this is an experienced word. So it came from this morning, a long time ago. It came from this morning, and I was talking to the Lord. Because I'm really examining myself. And this is how you know. This is how you know when your battery is getting to a critical, because you got to self-examine. You have to look at your walk. You have to look at your walk. And have you grown from the last 6 months? Or have you not grown? Have you grown for last week? Have you grown at all? Are you still the same since the last 5 years? Are you still the same? Still doing the same things? Still haven't learned the principles? Haven't gotten any closer or drawing any nigh to God? You got to know when it's just like our cell phones. We check that, right? And I got this message because I was already feeling the way. I woke up talking, well, the second time. I woke up talking. I was like, wait a minute. What did I do the last time I woke up, man? What's going on with this thing here? Okay, something is happening. So I'm talking to the Lord about it. And another thing I've learned about walking this walk and you're being used, there's things you're going to have to experience because it's on your cross. It's on your cross. So you cannot teach a lesson that you haven't learned. That's like going to school and your teacher is teaching math, and they're not even good at addition. Like, they putting the problems on the board and telling you to solve them, and they can't tell you really whether you're correct or not unless they pick up the calculator. God forbid the calculator will be dead, and they picking up the calculator and seeing, or they going to Google to find out if 2 + 2 really equals 4. So it's like he tells us, we are his witnesses. He says it a lot in Isaiah. We are his witnesses. I wouldn't be surprised to just turn to this and it's saying something about the witnesses, we the witnesses, because he has made that perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. That we are his witnesses. So in order to be a witness, you've had to witness something. Something you've experienced, something you've seen, something that you know. You have the knowledge of him about it. It's not just you, you know, just talking. It's something on your cross. It's something on your cross. And if we really look at our lives, the great, the bad, the in-between, the evil stuff, it's all a witness. It's all a witness. It is all a witness. I know what it feels like to put my mother in the grave. I know what it feels like to bear children. I know what it feels like to play Mary. I know what it feels like to play house. I know these things are... So when we are testifying of our witness, it's not a hypocrisy. We're not acting like we know. It should be that we know that we know. That's how it should be, because God is true. So God didn't write anything in his Bible that he's like, I'm not sure if it's going to really work out for you. I'm not 100%. But what I heard from Adam is, no, he's that's not him. So he don't expect us to have that same witness. He does not. You ever try to tell somebody else's story? Yeah, my cousin said she went down to the dead, and this is what happened. And there's key points that you're missing, and the enthusiasm of what you're saying. Like, you can actually visualize being there. You can actually, so somebody really can't tell your testimony the same way that you can tell it. Even if y'all in the same place, y'all are witnessing at a different perspective. Yeah, witnessing it. You ever seen, it's just like, okay, it's just me and my sister and I, right? And our experience from what we remember, it's not, well, some of the stuff she just, well, 70% of the stuff she just want to forget anyway, act like she don't remember. But the experiences, even what our mother said and what she didn't say, or she said all the time, or she didn't say all the time. It's just a difference. It's a difference. But we're all witnesses. We're both witnesses that we had Elizabeth, Lizzie, our mother. We have that witness. Nobody else has that witness. So it's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. Now, a grandchild can go in the house, but they don't have the same Lizzie. Because you know how we get older and some of us get softer. Okay, we don't want to spank people when we tore everybody else up, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It's like, so your marriage with the Lord is your witness. Your marriage with the Lord determines how you handle a natural marriage. For many of us that are already married, how is your marriage to your maker first? Okay, first I got to do this. He says in verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. He has chosen, okay, that you may know and believe me. You are my witnesses. Okay, let me make sure I get the other one because I'll be like, what did I say? Okay, so it says, verse 10 of Isaiah 43, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, the Lord has chosen, that you may know, I have chosen, that you may know, I have chosen you, so you may know, that you may know, and believe. So I have chosen you to witness this, to witness who I am, so you may know, that you may know, and believe me, and believe me. Mm-hmm. And understand. So you will know, you'll believe, and understand that I am he. So we have to have those God experiences. And when you have a marriage or a relationship, which it is a relationship with God, but it's a marriage because we are the bride. The church is the bride. Actually, the bride to Jesus Christ, but we are part of the bride, the New Jerusalem. So it's more than a friendship. It is. He's our friend. But we are the bride, male and female. We are the bride, male and female. We'll be kings and royal priests. Male and female, we are the sons of God. Male and female, because Jerusalem is a she. He calls Jerusalem a her, because she's the bride. Just like wisdom, he calls a her. So we are witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant. So what is a servant? A minister is also a servant. So it says, whom I have chosen. You're whom he has chosen. Have chosen. Okay, what I just heard is, are you serving the Lord? That's a question. I don't need to know the answer, but are you serving? Because you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant. Are you serving the Lord to even witness anything? Are we being living sacrifices? Is there a service that we are rendering to the Lord for the body? For the body. Is there service that we are rendering? Now, there's different ways to serve the Lord. In the building and out of the building. And so you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. So when he chose us as servants, he had an assignment already prepared. So are we working our assignment? Because we might be so disjointed in the body, out of place, not serving the Lord. We're living our own life. Your marriage is in divorce court because you're not even a servant. You're not giving yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Acceptable. So it's not even acceptable not to serve the Lord. You know, run around, I love Jesus, do you serve? Well, I don't really have time for all that. All the what? Do you know the service that you have to render? Do you even know the service? Your service might be in the house of the Lord. Your service start there, could come outside the building, because we know we're supposed to be a witness. Is there anything that you can testify about the Lord? Even Rachel, Carly, Renee, what is it? What is it you're doing to serve him that you're willing to die to yourself? Because when we follow Christ, it's a sacrificial life. It's a sacrificial life. So is this why the battery is at a critical state? Because we're still living for ourselves. We're not crucifying our flesh in any way. We're not serving the Lord in any way. Anyway, I'm not just talking about posting on Facebook. That might be your service. So that means that's your life. Like posting on Facebook, all you're doing is posting and creating stuff for the Lord because that's your life. But I mean, coming on daily and posting one or two, that's no, man. I mean, I'm not saying it don't help people, but it's a sacrificial life. The cross is a symbol of death and sacrifice for all, not just for ourselves. Mm-mm. Not just for ourselves. It's for the body. You are my witnesses. I love the Lord when he gets me. And I don't know, I'm going to go someplace and get stuck right there. Not really stuck, parked, should I say. You are my witnesses. What have you witnessed of the Lord that you're not willing to give back? You've witnessed something. Something you've witnessed. Did he block that accident? Did he save your children? Did he save you? Did he stop that car? Did he give you a car? Do you have a place to stay? Are you homeless, but you got a phone, you got access, He opened up that bed for you so you can get in because the storm was coming, the cold was coming. What has he done? I mean, God has healed your body, gave you a sober, sound mind. What has he done? Opened up, somebody got to show you favor. Somebody's had to supply your needs. Through God. Now, they might be taking the credit and talking about it, but it was through the Lord. Hey, beloved, how you doing? I think that's Michigan. Sending love out to you, sis, in the name of Jesus. So, grace and peace be multiplied, tripled in this new year, in the name of Jesus. So, yeah, because it's a three. Let's go for triple. Okay. Double was last year. Okay. But anyway, so, yeah. What is the service that you can give? And it's a witness. He says, you. He don't even say y'all, the people. He says, you are my witness. There has to be a God goodness in our life somewhere. That child you didn't think you could have. You was always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Now you the bride. That relationship that was killing you, that we put ourselves in, the eviction notice, the mortgage, something God has done. The people he brought in your life, waking up in the morning, you're breathing, you have the use of all your limbs, organs, and senses, and even if you don't, he still made a way for you to navigate your life. There's a sister on my page. I couldn't even pronounce her name if I wanted to, but I think she's in Colombia. And, oh, hey, cousin, I see you. And she has no legs and no hands. And she's a speaker. I mean, she is so inspired. That lady inspires me. And then even this brother, Leon Ford, the one that was shot, what, 5 times by the police? Maybe in 2012, I think it was, and he can't walk. But he has used that. He's on my page. He has used that for his good. God has used it for his good because now he's bridging the gap between police and our community. There has to be a goodness. Even, you know, I was taking out the trash right before this, and I thought about trials and tribulations. And one of the things I was thinking about, how beautiful things come out of trials and tribulations. Beautiful things come out of trials. Cousin, grace and peace be triple for you and your household, too, in the name of Jesus. I didn't see you. The beautiful things that come out of trials and tribulations. One, you learn to see God in a different way. Whether it's on your knees, whether it's prostrate, you crying out, you get the answer to a new lesson. Hopefully we learn through whatever we got to go through, the storm, whatever the case may be. You get a new lesson out. You grow. You don't realize you're being stretched or pulled or pushed or squeezed to get the anointing out through a trial and tribulation. If we get the message. Now, some people go backwards because they never release what the trial and tribulation is. They're too busy thinking about how it's hurt them. But if you get the lesson, I'm going to tell you, and I know I probably mentioned this on here a few times. When my mom passed, I was at her, we was at her funeral at the end. I don't know whether, I don't know what part of that is, but we was in the food hall. You know, different churches do different things. So we was eating, and as I was eating, I heard the Lord. I did not know Jesus yet. And so I heard the Lord, and he was talking, and he was telling me what my life was going to be like. I hadn't got the part that I had to receive Christ yet, but he was talking to me. I mean, he was just talking, and he literally was telling me I was going to move in South Carolina, and I was going to do things. Things were going to be birthed through me. And so all I heard was the great things. I was like, ooh. I didn't get the in-between. I didn't read the fine print on the contract, see? But I was at my mom's funeral. I was at her funeral. And he used that opportunity to talk to me. He used that opportunity to talk to me. And my head was clear enough to hear him. To hear him. Yeah, God can use anything. He can if we allow the lesson through it. Yes, that was a trial, but I also know she did her assignment. That's how I look at it. She completed her assignment. And so even in those things, if we look for the good, because he says it all works together for the good. But you got to know where your marriage is to even hear the Lord. Like when we pray. When we are praying, are we listening? Do we pray and sit still at all in our prayer? Just sitting there. And you're like, okay, why am I sitting here? Because he's going to respond. Because the greatest gift we have, in my opinion, the greatest gift we have from God. I know most people, is the word. No, communication. If we can commune, once we get into a posture where we're just talking to the Lord, we're at the table to break bread with the Lord. I'm telling you, for one, sometimes I feel like a kind of crazy place to be, but it's so much come out of communion. So much comes out of communion with the Lord. And when you're communing, make sure you have your Bible. I'm not talking about your phone. You can do that too, but that's a distraction. You got to be careful with that because notification or something, next you're looking at that. No, have a physical Bible in your house because there's going to be a day, the U.S., you ain't going to be able to get one. But especially a King James Version. But have your Bible. Because when he gives you an instruction, you might just open your Bible to where he wants you to be. It's a communion with God. And that's how, don't you want a marriage, a natural marriage for those that want to be married, those that say they don't? Like Michigan said, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. But once we start communing with God, when you commune with God, you can commune with people. When you learn how to commune with God that you can't see, you can learn how to commune with people that you do see. You do see. The communion with God, the marriage of God strengthens every area in our lives. But he also shows us where those spots and those blemishes are. Mm-hmm. He does. In the communion with God, with his word too, but just communing, just sitting there and telling him, talking to him. He already know, but so what? I already know you love them. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your boo, whatever the case may be, that out of order stuff, your lover, whatever the case, your baby daddy, your baby mom, all that stuff, you already tell them at times when you feel like getting y'all in a good place, sometimes when you're in a bad place, that you love them. Why not tell God the same way? Why not tell God the same way? Like me and Michigan was talking, I told her, he gave me books about dating God. It's a trilogy. Now, the last part is struggling, But anyway, it's a trilogy, dating God. And she said, I don't think God wants you to be dating him. Of course he does. Why should you date a man, a natural man or a natural woman, but you can't date God? That question I ain't going to ask, but why not? When you learn how to do things with the Lord, he'll show you the right way to do it with people, to do it with the way that honors him. It's a sacrificial walk because then women will learn how to keep themselves. Men will learn how to keep themselves because you already have a prepared spouse. From before you was born, your house was chosen, whether you have one or you're not. Your children was chosen, whether you will have any or not, how many you would have. Your spouse was already chosen. Your health was chosen. Your features were chosen. Where you live was chosen. Your mother, your father, all of this was chosen beforehand. But we don't seek the wisdom of it. Your name was already chosen. Yeah. The only reason God changed names is because people named people things that wasn't his thinking. He wasn't thinking that. So he changed it to what he was thinking for the character of that person. I never saw myself as no Rachel. If I was going to choose a name out of the Bible, somebody, there's two women I would have chose. Either Deborah, because she was sitting at the gate. That's what I'm talking about. But my number one choice would be Abigail, a woman of good understanding. Now, I'm not sure about that otherwise with David thing, but how God described her, Abigail, a woman of good understanding. Love it. Either Ruth would have been the tiebreaker or something. But Deborah, I just knew if ever it would have been Deborah. She's the only woman listed ever to be a judge over Israel leading the people. Yes! Or Abigail. Abigail ended up with the king because her husband was not right. Dropped dead, talking crazy to the king. But how he describes her, he don't describe her outer look first because she was a fair woman, so she was a beautiful woman, but she was a woman of good understanding. I don't think it gets no greater than that. Yeah. So, but he knows who we are. But we don't go to him. We don't have our relationship with him, our marriage. Take it that serious. Like, okay, like I've asked people, and I know I've stated it on here. If you are a male or a female, but I've asked men this, do you want another man to tell you what your wife feels like? To hold her, to touch her, to kiss her, to spend. Do you, what she likes to eat? You want another man to tell you what your wife sounds like? What it's like to sleep with your wife? What it's like to spend time with your wife? What it's like to communicate? What it's like to go on vacation with your wife? Do you want another woman telling you what it's like to be held by your husband? What it's like to kiss your husband? What it's like to be loved by your husband? Spend time with your husband? Your husband whispering in your ear? You want another woman to have to tell you that? So why do it require a preacher or a teacher or another saint to tell you what it feels like with God? So how we treat God in our marriages is how we treat people. If you have a poor time talking with God, you have a poor time with communication. Mm-hmm. You might say, I talk all the time. I didn't say less communication or more. I said communication. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you can talk better to people, they're your God. If you can sit there and talk better to people all day or whatever portion of the day and you don't commune with God, it's because they're your God. Those people are your God. Mm-hmm. And that's why many of those relationships don't last, because he's a jealous God. His name is Jealous. Okay? Mm-hmm. His name is Jealous. I know that's in Deuteronomy, I think. Mm-hmm. You want the people. And the people may end up in heaven, and you end up explaining at the judgment why he don't know you. Okay? Exodus. Seem like that. Okay. I'm not one. So yeah. The people is your God. And people, they can do mouth to mouth resuscitation. But if God says today your life is required or your soul is required, then people can't do nothing about it. When them people pack up and leave or do whatever they do, then we falling on our knees talking to the Lord. I know it's, okay. Exodus 34, verse 11. Observe you that which I command you this day. Behold, I drive out before you the Ammonites, all these warring jokers, but this is the land that we own, okay? The Ammonites, the Canaanites, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. I'm in Exodus 34 and 11. Now I'm in Exodus 34 and 12. Take heed to yourself, lest or otherwise you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Yeah, whither you go. Lest or perhaps it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars, break their images, not put them on your wall, not put that statue on your table, and cut down their groves. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, verse 14, is a jealous God. So the Lord is watching us. Is he pleased or is he jealous? Because there's another jealousy. There's another jealousy of God for the revenge of those he loved. But I'm talking about, is he jealous of these relationships that we have with people and not with him? Is he jealous that we can lie in a human bosom, but we won't lie in his bosom? In his bosom is his word, his son, his heart, his core. Can we lie in his bosom, but not lie, can we lie in people's bosom, but not lie in his bosom? Can we spend quality time with people, but not with him? I believe, especially when he puts you in a solitary place, he's even preparing you how to deal with people. If many of us, if all of us, spent that time with God first, marriages would turn out different. One, we would have heard who our spouse really is. Two, we would have been trained on how to love them because we went to the source of love. We wouldn't be walking with people because how they look, how they feel, because we didn't have sex with them. We wouldn't be out of order because the woman would know her value and the man would be honorable and know his value too if we spent that time with the Lord. The women would not have to advertise her body to get that attention because she would know how valuable God created her with his own hand. Tell you, if he would have just told me these things and trained me, he probably told me, but I was rebellious. So you end up with those scars, but you have to know those behaviors. And God, when you commune with God, he'll show it to you. And sometimes you struggle with them later on, because I'm struggling with things in this season that I thought was dead a long time ago. But I thank God that he's showing me in this season, because I know he's preparing me for a thing. And all those things have to come out because it'll destroy what he's taking me into. And many of us go into things broken. We go into new careers, broken from the last place. We go into friendships, broken from the last. Because we don't take that time to commune. In the bosom, there's healing. In the bosom, there's deliverance. In the bosom, there's showing us how to forgive. It's all there in God's word if we spend the time to commune with him. Just commune. Spend time. We go in prayer, asking for things, and then get right up. Amen. And expect it. But commune. Love on God. We want to be loved. Well, love on him. And he'll open his good treasures. He'll show you. He'll show you. Sometimes, like, I catch on slow sometimes with God, but I'm probably catching on slow with some people. Because I'm telling you, I know I didn't catch on slow because some things I'm pushing light, not realizing they trying to stab me in my back. But it's good sometimes not to see some things and know some things because it'll change your view. But ask God the right perspective. I challenge you to start communing. I challenge you to cherish your marriage with God. I challenge you with that. Because think about it like this. We're going to be in eternity with whoever we chose to be God over our life. We're going to be in eternity with whomever we chose to be God over our life. We're going to be in their bosom then, rather in the bosom of fire or whatever the case. But whoever we chose to lift up so high and to spend that time with them that we won't spend with God. Now, they might make it in and the other person don't make it in, cherishing them. But if we have any sense, we'll tell somebody, don't cherish me. Cherish God. Mm-hmm. Honor, love, but don't worship me. Worship God. Because then it'll be well with both of us. Then it'll be well with both of us. Get that me time with God. That bodybuilder time with God. Commune with him. Mm-hmm. So I close with this. I'm going to read this verse. Isaiah 51. Hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness. And you can only get that from God the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You that seek the Lord, look unto the rock, whence or from where you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. My arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, know the Lord. Okay. The people in whose heart is my law, fear you not the reproach of men, neither be you afraid of their revilings, for or their mocking or scorning. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake in the ancient days and the generations of old. Are you not it that have cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Are you not it which have dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that have made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom or the saved or the redeemed to pass over? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee. I, even I, am he that comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made grass, and forgets the Lord your maker, that have stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if you were ready to be destroyed, as if you were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Now I'm going to close. Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, you that did not, verse 1, did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For more of the children of the desolate, the empty, the wasted, those outside the marriage, than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Woo! For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, and your seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be you confounded, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth and shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you was refused says the Lord. So I send the word, God, to the people, God, to the ears of God, to the hearts of men. Pray we have the most blessed day. Pay attention to your battery. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to your marriage. Fight for your marriage with the Lord. In Jesus' name, love y'all, peace.